get my attention. And the name of the message today is called, Behold, the Bridegroom Cometh. And we apologize for that glitch. And again, we're in Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says here again, Behold, I will send my messenger, that is, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. So what he's trying to say is, who will stand if you're not prepared? Are you going to be able to stand under the refiner's fire? Under the fuller soap of God's cleansing blood? Under the flame and the purity of his word as he opens the books to judgment? We will be judged out of the word of God and out of his purity, the flame of his voice, the flame of his word, the flame of his spirit. Will we be ready? Will we be able to stand under that in that day? And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that he may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And in verse 5, And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against false swearers, and against these that oppress the hireling for in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear me not, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. In other words, what he's trying to tell us, for it is the fear of God. If we don't fear God, we will not have it in us to change. We must seek God now while there's still time. Seek God in the closet of your home. Seek God while you're at work, while you're in your car, while you're going for a walk, while you're in a restaurant. Seek God wherever you are, while you're doing your yard work, while you're doing this or doing that. Seek God. Go to your prayer closet and pray. We know that, behold, the Lord cometh. Yes, he's coming. I can hear him. I can see him. He's coming. And in verse 16 it says, Then they that feared the Lord spake often one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Do you know that he's going to make jewels out of such a people? He's going to look at that with an endearment in his heart. He's going to look at that as a precious thing. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels and when I will spare them. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And the Bible says here, Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So the whole purpose, the whole point today is that we would get ready, that we would discern between right and wrong, between good and evil, that we would be ready and accounted for, that we would make clean our garments, that we would be washed in the blood, that we would be not overcome by sin, but we know that we have an advocate, the Father. We cry, Abba, Father. We know that we can still go to him. We're still covered, but that we go to Jesus. He is the only one who can pardon us. He is the only one that can prepare our hearts, prepare the way, that we would be made ready because of his mercy and his grace. Because he first called us. We didn't call him. It's the Lord Jesus. He's the one true God. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he saith. And we know that there's only one way. There's only one road. That's why there's no confusion. The world, they say that there's many roads to heaven. There's many doors. You can get there by meditation. You can get there by being good. You can get there by earning your way and just paying your bills and doing good to your neighbor. And you've done all these things, but yet they don't sell all that they have and follow after Jesus like the young ruler. So it is in our lives today. The world is full of all the unrighteous filth of man's goodness. Man's goodness is not good enough. Man's righteousness is his filthy rags. It won't be good enough in the day when the Lord comes. But the only thing that he's going to see is the blood upon us. Like the blood that was on the doors and the lentils of the doorways. As the destroyer passed by and saw the blood, he passed over. He looked over their sin. He looked over it because he saw the redeeming blood of Jesus who died on the cross. And Jesus said that I will come back and redeem them. And that is why we're here on earth today. We're getting ready for that day. We're being tested every day. Every moment of every day we're tested. And today is the day, not tomorrow. But today is the day of salvation. Don't wait, because tomorrow may never come. Amen? If you go to Mark chapter 13, 32 to 33. Mark 13, 32 to 33. And it says here, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Only God in heaven knows when the skies will split and there will be thunder. It would be a loud entrance. Everyone will see it. Every eye shall behold. There will be no secret rapture. There's no such thing. All these fallacies and fables will go away instantly. And instantly people will know whether or not they were right or wrong in this life. Instantly, people are going to recognize their sin because of the light of his coming. Because it's going to shed abroad upon the hearts of all those that are upon the face of the earth. And they will all see as clear as day what their life has been, what their life will be like. If you're not ready, you have only but doom ahead. You have only but to look forward with a foreboding dread of eternity in hell because you wasted your time on earth. There will be sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow from eternity to eternity. And people, no man or woman, will ever be ready for that. I don't care who you are. In this day and age, the only thing that's going to matter is making yourself ready for the bride of Christ, for the bridegroom, for he cometh. And he's coming very soon. Verse 33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Are you heeding God's warning? Are you being watchful and are you being alert in your life? Are you taking care to do away with the sin in your life? Are you being watchful over your own soul? Because truly the devil cometh as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we have but a short time on this earth. There's not much time left. And the devil is seeking all those he can take down with him as much as he can. And that is why it is a narrow road. It's a difficult road. It's a road that leads to heaven, but it's the only road that goes there. And that is through Jesus. And if you can find that pearl, that precious pearl, that treasure in the open field, which is Jesus Christ, if you can find that, then you found life. You found the way. You found truth. You found that abiding presence that only God can help you with. Only God can direct in your life. If you go to Acts chapter 3, 19 and 20, we know that as we're thinking about 33 here, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Wow, you think of the dates that are such as the Herald Campings of the world and all these others, all these people who have the audacity to think that they can set dates on the Lord's return even at this late hour, even at the late hour of time, that they still think that people, and there are many, who will be so gullible to swallow such a lie, such deceit, and many who have wasted their lives are looking for an easy fix. They're looking for an easy believism. They're looking for someone to tell them a lie to tickle their ears. And that's all it is. Amen? And in Acts chapter 3, 19 through 20, it says here, repent ye therefore, and be ye converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. But there must be an urgency in our life to repent. There must be an urgency of need to check ourselves, to look in the mirror, to look to God, because truly we don't know the day nor the hour. And only Jesus, who knows all things, even he doesn't know, but the Father. But yet, it's going to be a day and an hour as a thief in the night, when the whole world is asleep and slumbering. No one's paying attention. Everyone's got their eyes on the Super Bowl. Everyone's got their eyes on the economy. Everyone's got their eyes on the saber rattling of the world, the wars and rumors of wars. Everyone has their eyes on the flesh, having enough money to buy this, that, or another, having even a car, having all these things that dress the body. But what are they doing to dress the soul? Are we making our spiritual garments white? Are we going to be made ready? And in verse 20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Yes. And he's going to wipe all tears from your eyes. I believe literally that the Lord will wipe away every tear from every eye, from those who have lived a life godly, who have lived a life worthy of being accounted for, who have been redeemed, who have been saved from sin, death, and hell. I believe that God will come back in his great, not only will he come back as a man who is going to take vengeance on the heathen with fire and brimstone, but in that still is that compassion. He still has that overriding, overwhelming love and compassion. For that is why he has given us time. That is why we are seeing it day after day, his grace and his mercy that leads us continually to repentance. And he knows that we are but weak, we're dust of the earth, but the Lord still is gracious. Romans chapter 8, 21 to 22, if you could go there, please. Go to Romans 8. And it says here, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The whole creation, the whole frame of nature. Amen. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We know that sin is a burden. Because of sin, all the fishes and all the sea creatures are groaning. All the animals, all the birds of the air and of the ground are groaning. All creation, earthquakes and volcanoes and nasty weather patterns is groaning before us, even as we notice it today. Even as we are witnessing Day after day after day after day, all these things that are happening before our eyes. The whole of creation, even in space, the heavenlies are all kinds of signs and wonders going on. All kind of signs of the earth's creation that are groaning even in the heavens. In Psalm chapter 50, verse 3, it says here, "Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him." This vengeance, this is a fire before and after the Lord's coming. He will prepare the way with fire, a cleansing, and he's going to devour the adversary after, when he comes back. The adversary will face nothing but death and destruction. The adversary of our souls will be cast down to the sides of the pit. The adversary of our souls, all those men and women who mock God until this day, who will not be found worthy, who will be found wanting on the scales of judgment, they will be literally cast down and into the lake of burning fire along with the great whore and the false prophet. All these things will come to pass in fruition. In verse 4 it says here, "He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people." And all heaven and earth will take notice of this solemn process. This whole thing taking place before our eyes. Every man, woman, and child will take notice. Everyone will notice, and everyone will take care to see just what is happening. But for some, it will be too late. And that's why we must not be found playing games when he comes back. We must be found ready, cleansed. And that is why we think about the virgins, the 10 virgins that were, the 5 that were wise and the 5 that were foolish. And so we want to be those who are of the wise, those who continually filled themselves with the Word of God, the Spirit of God, who continually asked the Holy Ghost to fill them, to lead them, to guide them, and that we would not be passed over, that we would be truly covered in the blood. Because if we're truly covered in the blood, there will be true repentance. There will be true a true nature of God would be within us, dwelling within. If we go to 2 Thessalonians, go to chapter 1, please. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." These are the faithful that will be found at his coming, and they will find rest in the presence of God. They will truly find rest for all eternity. They will find that joy. They will find that salvation has been redeemed in their lives. They will find that the Lord Jesus Christ was true to his word. They will find out that Jesus is truly the Redeemer and a rewarder of those that diligently seek after him. And go to verse 8. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Those are the ones, as I have just said, have rebelled. They've rebelled against the light of God's revelation in their lives. They've rebelled against all that was good and decent and right. They forsook the hand of God when he reached out to them. And they gnawed and chewed. They devoured. They complained. They murmured. They spent their time backbiting. They spent their time devouring people, trying to destroy their character, trying to destroy who they are, trying to speak evil. But these are the people, unless they repent, that will be found wanting and unprepared. And if you go to verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from glory of his power? Imagine that now. This is the very destruction. These are the wages of sin. That is why it's called destruction. Away from God's glorious power. If only people would think and realize and consider what is awaiting them on the other side. The glory and the power and the majesty of Almighty God no mind can even comprehend. If you go to 1 Peter. Now, again, for those that don't know and are not aware, when I do my studies, oftentimes I would just take a notebook and write down all of my scriptures in a notebook. But then the Lord oftentimes will take me to another place. So when you see me turning a page in a notebook, that's basically what I'm going off of, but that's what the Lord has given me. And so, not too often am I veered away, but there are times that I am. And the Lord does do that as he did this morning in Malachi. So why don't we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 7. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Did you see that? Who are kept by the power of God. Did you see that? Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Faith is the sovereign preservative of our soul. Faith is going to help us to get there by his grace for God's glory. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So we know that we're going to suffer through many trials and tribulations and temptations in this earth. We know that the devil is going to make sure of it. The devil's going to come to you and he's going to whisper in your ear at night. And he's going to whisper in your ear in the morning and in the day, during the middle of the afternoon. He's going to tempt you. He's going to cause you to think awry, to take your focus off of God because you're going through a difficult time right now. And you're going through such a state that you just can't think of anything else but that. And the devil's going to pound you and pound you and pound you and get you off the right track. And you see that's where we need to be ready. That's where we need to seek God by faith. That's where the rubber meets the road in our walk with God. That's where we begin to see, know, and realize where we stand with God. What kind of, how much we yield to him. Because we know that with God is all truth, all power. With God, we know that we can't fail. But if we just trust and obey God through it all, he's paid the price. All we have to do is follow through, obey his word. He's already done the work for us, but we've got to do our job. He doesn't want us to just go through life lazy because there's a price to pay. We have many lessons in life to learn. And there are many things that we don't know that we think we know. There are many things that we think we know that we don't know. There are many things that we need to know, understand, and realize that in life, everything and not everything is as it appears to be. But we know that in the heavenlies, God does not change. We know that we can count on his word. We know that that never changes. We know that that is what it appears to be. We know that the word of God is stable. The King James Bible. The King James Version of the Bible. And we know that his word can be trusted. We know that we can trust God to get us there. If we will but just yield, if we will but cling to the rock, if we will just throw away the fleshy, throw away the things that the habits, all these things that continually play in our mind day and day and day after day after day. All we have to do, though, is give it to God. He'll take it. He'll wash it away. He'll cleanse. He'll redeem. He'll help. He'll heal. He'll help those infirmities. But we just must trust God and give it to Him. It's about getting ready. It's about washing the garments, making ourselves white, overcoming by the blood of Jesus, making ourselves ready, because we know not the hour nor the day. And we know in verse 7 it says here, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, He paid the price already. He paid it all on the cross. And all we have to do is get on our knees and thank God Almighty for it, to receive His mercy, receive His grace, receive His salvation, but live accordingly. Don't live any old way you think you want to live, because that's not going to get it done. We know that the time is short. 1 Peter chapter 1. We must all get alone with God right now. We must all hear from God in these end days, because we know that the noise of this world is clamoring for your attention. The noise of this world is looking to take your sight off of God, because this world is enmity with God. This world hates God. And that's why we are to be separate, to come out of her, my people, saith the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 19 says here, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That means seek after, prepare, learn, apply what you've learned from the Word of God and through His Spirit. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, our work is to be perfectly submitted to the Lord's work in our life, that we obey God's perfect will in our life. That's what the Lord wants of us. That's what He expects of us. Our life depends on it. In verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. How many people are doing that today? How many people do you see in the world, all over these churches, and the Rick Warren churches of the world, the new emergent churches, the seeker churches out there, all these false concepts that are causing people to just find a comfort and make peace with sin. Just make peace with yourself. Make peace with all this compromise. And all we're going to do, we're not going to preach the gospel. All we're going to do is sit around in an auditorium and we're going to take questions. And we're going to answer, and we're going to ask endless questions and genealogies. We're going to ask them and ask them and ask them, and everything is relevant. And no answers. And, you know, it's a good question, and maybe we ought to think about that. Maybe we ought to look into that, and maybe psychology can help us, and maybe there's a professor somewhere that can shed some light on this. But that's the new way. That's the way of the emergent church and the seeker churches and all these false churches. That's the way of the great whore. That's the way of the false prophets. They're going to come and give you a word, any word, except the Word of God. It's gonna sound right. It's gonna look good, and it's gonna come with wrappings, and it's gonna be full of entertainment, and it's gonna be this, that, and the other. Anything but to give God the glory, because what they're doing is taking all the glory to themselves. All they want is the glory for themselves. They want people to look up to them. They want people to give them the honor. They want people to look at them and say, hey, this guy knows everything. They want the front seat. They want this. They want that. But they don't want to give it to God. But God says, I will not share my glory with another. Amen. Praise God. And if we go to verse 15, it says here, verse 15 in 1 Peter chapter 1. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. See, he by his grace, he commanded that we live an example as he had lived divinely. He was the divine example. But he wants us to walk in that example. He says, be ye perfect as I am perfect. We have a model, a role model. There is only one who can teach us truly. He said that even he would write it upon our hearts that no man would have need to teach us, but that the Holy Ghost. See, that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Every man who allows the Holy Ghost into their life, well, the Holy Ghost will teach them all things. It will burn it in their soul because the Holy Ghost is like a fire. The Holy Ghost will burn the dross out of your soul. I guarantee you. He'll take care of that if you yield. 1 Peter chapter 1, go to verse 16 if you would. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You see, great favors bring strong obligations. It enables us to be holy. It enables us to walk on a plane that we never thought we could walk. But the Lord reveals to us the intricate doings of His Spirit. If we get into that secret place of prayer, the Lord will begin to reveal things to us. He'll begin to show us how to walk. Because He says, He is holy, walk even as I walk. He wants us to walk as He walked, and He walked holy and without sin. But yet we know that we walk in the flesh. God knows we walk in the flesh. God knows that we're here on earth and that we live in this carcass. We're in this carcass and it's made of flesh. We live in a world that glorifies the flesh. And that's why it's so important that the Lord wants us to be holy. To be holy is to be obedient. To be holy is to walk in faith, to believe God, to trust God. In verse 17 it says here, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. The judgment of God is without respect of persons. The searchlight of His holy word will reveal many things to you. But the Lord wants us to walk in fear. For that is the beginning of all wisdom. That is the beginning of light. Is when we fear God. When we don't fear man, we obey God. We fear God. We trust God. When we fear God, we revere Him. We respect His word. We respect His spirit. We respect Him for who He is and for what He's done in our lives. True power is one who knows He has the power to destroy your life but gives you mercy instead. That is true power. 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. We were not only redeemed from eternal destruction, but from the manner in which it came. We were redeemed from all the coverings, all of the manifesting lifestyles. We were redeemed from all manner of thinking. We were redeemed from all manner of habit. We were redeemed from all manner of what other people do that we don't have to follow along after. All these shadows, all these books, all these articles written on how to live a life of victory and how to live a life that, you know, you can have this and you can have that and you can have your cake and eat it too. But it doesn't work that way unless you've given your whole life to Jesus and you've repented and you're covered in the blood. That's the only life that works in the spiritual. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is the living blood that Jesus revived us from death. He revived us from the spirit of lukewarmness. He's revived us from sin. He's revived us from the carnal. He's revived us from the flesh. He's revived us from all these things that the world is wanting to push on us. Even through the TV and the movies and all these other things that clamor for our attention. But we know that the living blood of Jesus, when he died on the cross for us, gave us life. He gave us an infusion of life by that blood. In Titus chapter 2, 13 through 15, if you could go there. We know that the day of the Lord's glorious appearing is at hand. It's right around the corner. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, and our people getting ready. Titus chapter 2, 13 through 15 says here, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that there's only one hope, and it's unimaginable to the human mind what it's going to be like in heaven. When He appears, our great God, our great Savior, Jesus Christ, with that blessed hope and that glorious appearing. I just can't imagine what it's going to be like. I can read about it in the Word of God, and I can try to picture it in my mind's eye, but I don't think any man or woman can truly understand how glorious it really is going to be on that day. It's going to be a terrible day, and it's going to be a glorious day all at the same time. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These are those who are pardoned and purified, who are distinguished from the world, who are set apart, who are not living a life of lies, but who are living a life filled with the Spirit of God and truth. In verse 15, why don't we just go there? Verse 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. What the Lord wants us to do, it says here, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. But we are to preach, exhort, teach, encourage, contend for the faith. Oh, that we would have sound doctrine, that we would live according to the Word of God by faith, as they did in the early church, as they did back in the day of the apostles. But we know that the Lord has always been true. He doesn't change. And He's preserved His word. And He's preserved a remnant of people, even unto this day. And we see a church today, it's not full of people, but there's a remnant. It's not full of people in fancy clothes, looking to be seen and looking to be heard. But there's a remnant. Wherever you are, there's a remnant. But it's a small remnant. You know, that we know that very few there will be that will find it. We know that most people we see today will not make it. Most people out there that you see won't be there. Most of humanity, the sea of humanity, will fall under the judgment of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, 12 through 14. Looking for the hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens bring on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt away with fervent heat. That dreadful fire, that dreadful day, that day that will come upon the unrepentant will be a day like no other. That will be the day, that will be the day that will live in infamy. Not the day of 1942, but the day of the Lord's coming. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. If our expectations are according to the promise of the Word of God, we will not be disappointed. In verse 14, wherefore, my beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Those that diligently press towards the mark, going forward, not giving up, seeking God, they will be found without spot, and they will be blameless before God. And that's what our goal is today. That's what we're looking to do. Have you ever thought about that? What it would be like to be ready, to be without spot, without wrinkle, to be blameless before God at his coming? How many times people think about it? You think about all those that have that silent foreboding in their soul. They know there's a dreadful day coming, and they know that they're not ready. What happens next? We know that with fear and trembling, we work out our salvation. But we can find peace if we do that. But that fearful foreboding, that certain thought, that feeling that we know we're not right and we're not doing much about it, and every tick that talks away, we know that we get closer to the edge of eternity. And when that day comes, those that will be found doing good will continue to do good. But those that would be found doing evil will continue to do evil in the sight of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 5 through 8. That in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. These are all the benefits of his grace. Did you know that? It says here, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Those are the benefits of God's grace while we are here on earth. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, that is, the witness of Christ proved them out. Did you know that? So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I'm reminded, why don't you go to Philippians 1 through chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. For we know that if we are faithful to God, he will be faithful to us. Yet we know that even in our sinful states, he has been faithful to us because of his mercy and grace. Even though we fall, even though we fail, even though we stumble around like a drunk man, blind and stupid, lazy, ignorant, arrogant, unwilling to learn, unwilling to grow, can't be told anything. That is truly the spirit of pride. A place that we all want to get past and get through. We've all had to go through that period in our lives. I know I have. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, he's able to get you there. If he started a work in your life, he's going to perform it to the end. There is hope for those who seek after God. If he began a good work in you, he'll finish it to the end. He'll make sure it comes to fruition, that you see fruit in your life, that you begin to see the benefits of God's grace, that you begin to see that your diligence is paid off in seeking after God, for he's a rewarder of those that seek him. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11 through 14. In other words, we're to be ready though. Be ready, be ready, be ready. In verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. For there is a more excellent way, and that excellent way is God's truth, burning like a burning torch and a burning light, leading the way in our life. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In other words, we are to fight the good fight with a cause. What is that cause? That cause is that we receive the crown, that we lay it before God on that day, but that we have a cause, a righteous cause, to live for God, to live for others. And when we, God is also going to look to people who are looking to help others. You see, the Lord doesn't want us to be selfish. The Lord doesn't want us to be someone who hoards things for ourselves. The Lord wants us to be ready in more ways than one. He wants us to help others get ready. He wants us to be encouraging, edifying, to be an example, to be comforting, to exhort, to teach, preach, that we would learn also. No one's more special than anybody else. We all have things to learn. Every one of us, including me, I probably have more to learn than anyone here in this room. If we go to verse 13, 1 Timothy chapter 6, 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. For we know that with God's kingdom, with God's work on the cross, with God's Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the very God who died on the cross, when he gave it up on the cross, he gave it to us, that we could learn how to live this life victorious and with a good confession. A life that doesn't have to be lived full of guilt, that doesn't have to be lived full of regret, even though we all have regrets, and I know I do. I believe me, I've got my share of regrets, and I tell you what, I repent whenever I think about them. And I ask God to, I continually pray for all those people that I've ever hurt, all those people that I've ever in some way offended. I know that I'm only human, and I know that you are too, and that's why we all need to come together by the mercy and grace of Almighty God and ask God to help us grow and to help us to be a good and a fair witness, to be people of honor and respect, teachable, loving, able to learn and to teach others, patient and kind. These are the kinds of things that the Lord wants us to be like. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the second coming is certain. We know that, yes, we can live a life that is unrebukable. But we need to be ready always. Because we know that by transgression, Judas fell. We know that by many transgressions, people fall every day. We know that people think that they've come to a certain place in life and in their walk with God where they're unmovable. They can't be moved and they can't be touched. And that is where the danger comes. That's why we always need to be on our knees. To be ready. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 2 through 6. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. In other words, in the dead of night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. It will be completely an undeniable destruction. It will be a complete utter ruin for those that are not ready. In the midst of their carnal security, they're going to find that their worst nightmare has come true. That's why it's important that we live above and beyond the reproach of sin as best we know how, and by the grace of God and by the leading of His Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost teaching us all things whereby we can overcome the deceptions, overcome the rudiments of this world, overcome the snares and traps that He sets for us every day. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4, 6, it says here, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. For we know that for those that are of the day, we know that the day star has risen upon their lives." That day star, Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost. "Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." We are no longer under the darkness of sin and guilt, but we are now in the light of the promise of His grace. In verse 6, "Therefore, let not us sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Let us not be forgetful and careless. Let us not be those who begin to beat and to smite our fellow servants and think that the Lord has delayed His coming and go and play and party and drink with the drunken. No, 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 I'm sorry. That won't ever work. Not in God's book here and not in God's book there. Not on Judgment Day, my friend. It ain't going to fly. Revelations chapter 16 through 15. "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Many who profess to know the Lord will fall into grievous sins. They'll walk about ashamed, naked, stripped of their honor and dignity, stripped of the honor they once had, because now they've sinned grievously before God, and they're an open sore, an open shame, like an open sewer, a fly in the ointment. 1 Peter chapter 4 through 6 through 7. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. God will reckon with those who heard the gospel preached to them. God will reckon to every man, woman, and child who have been of age and understanding to know the difference between right and wrong. And if they did not repent, God will reckon with them. God will reckon with you and me if we don't walk according to His glory and to His purpose. And in verse 7 it says here, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." In other words, he's trying to tell us, don't let the sins of this world suffer us to be overtaken. Don't allow yourself to be inconvenienced by the inconvenience of sin. Don't allow yourself to suffer loss, what you have once gained. Because we know that the devil is the great spoiler. We know the devil is round about looking who he can deceive, even especially Christians, who he can find that's asleep and in a slumber. He can deceive and cause them to think and do other things that they know is not right, get them off track, cause them to do things and to think things that are simply not of God, and get them to believe it. Get them to believe that there's nothing they can do. They've fallen into that state and there's no way out. There's no hope. But God is that hope. We know that Jesus makes a way where there seems to be no way. Romans 13, 11 through 14. "But that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed," or nearer than when we believed. And not four things I wrote down. I wrote down a note here in this section here. Four things came to mind when I was going over that scripture. It says when to wake, how to dress yourselves, how to walk, and what provision to make. In verse 12 it says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." The graces of this armor is to secure the soul from all of Satan's temptations that he puts upon us day in and day out, day after day, 24/7. Even in our sleep, I've woken up many times thinking I was doing something wrong. And I woke up, it was a dream, or I was in some kind of a state. I don't know if I was asleep or if I was awake or what I was doing. But then I would wake up and I could praise God, praise God, praise God. It was only a dream. I get right on my knees. I got right on my knees and I pray, "Oh God in heaven, keep me from that temptation. Keep me from those sins, oh God. Keep me from that wicked one that seeks to devour my soul." God will help you too. And in verse 13, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." In other words, don't walk like the heathen walk. Don't walk like they say in that old song that I heard years before. Don't walk like an Egyptian. 14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." These are hurtful lusts. Lust that we need to check at the door of our hearts and minds. Lust that we need to mark, for they are trouble for our souls. We know that if we don't do that, we allow them to come in the doorway of our hearts and our minds, we've just invited the devil. We've just invited them to camp out on our doorstep. And every time we wake up in the morning, every time we walk in the door, there's the devil welcoming us home, because there, all of a sudden, there's the internet, there's the books, the magazines, there's that person I should maybe call but maybe shouldn't. All these things that we know that the devil is going to be there to tempt us daily. Matthew 24:10 through 13. Like Pastor said, it's going to get nasty. Put your helmets on. It's rough out there. I didn't originate that. I heard that, and I thought that was the neatest thing I ever heard. Verse 10. "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Many that stand with you today. Many there be that stand with you at work, in your family, your friends, all those that you know, all those that you think you know. There will be many, not all, but many who will betray you. That means most. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Oh, they're discovering ways to new ways to deceive you and me in churches today. Apostates, false teachers and preachers. They're working overtime and bending over backwards to find a new way to take you off the one way. In verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We know that in today's day and age, one of the things that you will notice is that people begin to become real shy, and they get suspicious of one another, and they start asking questions, and they start saying and thinking things that without asking the person first, or without going to that person in private, or without doing this or that or the other, they'll start doing this to all who will hear. In verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. In other words, what that's saying is perseverance wins the crown. Perseverance, diligence, enduring. We will be redeemed by the blood of Christ on that day. Matthew 24, 21 to 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, so this time no nor ever shall be. For we know that the measure of iniquity is in full, then comes all the troubles of the world upon mankind, all at that moment. And all these things that men will do when they try to, they think that they're going to fight God, and they think that they're going to run from God or hide from God. No, I'm sorry. That great day of tribulation, they're going to try to bring out their toys, and they're going to bring out these megaton bombs and missiles, and all of this is designed to go to fight against God. And it's going to be as a toy, and God's going to laugh. God's going to laugh in the heavenlies at them. In verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. We know that the flesh, the wrath of the devil, is in an uncontrollable rage, even as we sit here today. Everywhere it's raging. Everywhere on the radios and TVs and internets, magazines, everywhere in our society today, where people are dressing a certain way, tattooing their bodies, putting earrings everywhere, all over their faces and in their scalps and noses and all these other places I'm not even going to mention. And it's an evil thing. And it says here, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. We know that even as I was talking to Shirley today, we speak about these kind of things often. How that, where does the time go? I woke up at 6 o'clock this morning, and before I knew it, I got here at 8:45, and I was in prayer, and before I knew it, it was 9:45. And it was time to begin almost. It surely came here, and where did the time go? I mean, it's unbelievable. The time is truly shortened. Matthew 24, 27 says here, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You've heard it said before, there is no rapture. There's no secret rapture. That's all a big fable. It's a big lie. That's the devil lying to you. And when people tell you that, you know that the devil is speaking through them. Matthew 24, 29 to 31. Immediately after the tribulation in those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall give her light, shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. The glorious appearance. This is the glorious appearance of our Lord Jesus. The glorious appearance of the Lord will darken the sun and the moon like a candle that is overshadowed by the beam of the sun in the clear noonday. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to overshadow the sun and the moon, and all the stars will be shaken. Jesus is that light. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And according to Isaiah chapter 60, 19 through 20, and Revelations 21 and Revelations 22, 5, and all these things talk about how that the Lord will overshadow. He will come, and the moon and the stars and the sun will be darkened at His coming because of the brightness of His coming. Matthew 24, 30 to 31. And when shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven? And then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The remnant will lift up their hands and their heads, and they'll lift it up to God, and they'll praise God while all the evil will be running for the nearest cave. They'll be ducking their heads and finding a way to slipshod their way into a cavern somewhere to try to hide and away from the judgment of God. We know that our redemption draweth nigh. Psalms 126, 5 through 6 says here, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Well, that's the kind of joy we'll have at his coming. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And in Matthew 24, I don't even know if I'll be able to finish, but I'll do the best I can here. Matthew chapter 24, 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. To those that are watchful, that means life. To those that are careless, that means death. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I can imagine what it was like, but in those days, how that Noah built the ark, and all those that were mocking him and scourging him and making fun of him and saying all manner of evil. All of a sudden, the rain started to come. But it came upon them suddenly. But I can imagine some started after a foot high, 2 feet high, started inching towards the ark. Open the door, Noah. But it was too late. Just like the unwise virgins who were found unready. 24, 38 to 51. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They were drinking and eating when they should have been praying and repenting, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They paid no mind. They paid no attention. They did not mind the warnings of Noah when he preached to them. They made fun of him instead. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. This will be the great day of separation. The false doctrines of the rapture and all these other false things will just go away. It will be revealed. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. These who rejected God, who spent a lifetime rejecting God, will now be rejected for eternity. Because at that time, it's going to be too late. Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour that the Lord doth come. And I'm going to and I don't want to have to do this, but I'm going to skip over to 25 now. Matthew 25, 10 through 12. And it says here, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. It will be forever shut and bolted. A great gulf will be fixed for all time, for all eternity at that moment. Afterward came also the virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But it will be too late for them. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know ye not. For they were shunned at that moment. They shunned God, and now he shunned them. We know that in going back to 25, 5 through 6, we read this. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slept and slumbered. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. See, at that point, everyone's eternal destiny will be fixed. The time of the end has now been set for judgment. The books will be opened. All has come to the final cataclysmic end. Every man, every woman, and every child will stand before the great author, the great authority, and the great power of all time, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will be a sea of people beyond ability to see over. On that day, if you go to Daniel in closing, Daniel chapter 7, 9 through 10. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. That was all rule, all authority, and all power to those that were in opposition against God and his kingdom. We know that every knee will bow, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. And this was with all splendor, glory, and power while he sit there. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. We know that the dreadful fire of God's purity, no man can stand. Verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. This is the flame of God's word to judge every man. Thousands, thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. This is all who have ever lived. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And that's where we're going to end. That is what I want to end with, to give you something to think about. Will your name be found written in the books of life when they are opened on that day? Will you be found worthy of God? Will you be found in that place where your redemption draweth nigh? Will you be able to say, oh, glory to God, praise ye his holy name? Will you be able to stand before God with utter thankfulness of heart, lifting up your hands like that man who came back to thank God, and the other nine went about their way? We know that that day is coming upon us very shortly. Every heart must be made ready. Your garments be made white. You must overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ, because there's not much time left. So why don't we go and end with this. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing a chorus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord God in heaven, now for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this message, that you will touch the hearts of those that listened in, that you will touch those that were here, O God, that you would open eyes and ears and hearts to understand, know, see, and realize, O God, that your time is even now. It is even today. The day is at hand. And are we going to be ready, O God in heaven? O Lord Jesus, make us ready by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and by your mercy, your grace, and your truth, O God, working in the lives of all those that heard this message, O God, and all those who might hear it down the road and who would happen upon it one day. If there is any day to be seen in the road, should you tarry, O God. And I pray, O Lord Jesus, now that you would lead, guide, and direct every heart, every life here today, O God, and all those that are online. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would go with us today, that you would help us with seeking hearts, to look at our lives, to make ourselves ready, to be ready at thy coming. For we know, O Lord, that the cry at midnight would come, behold, the bridegroom cometh, and will we be made ready, even though we slumber and sleep, will be found faithful unto thy coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.